another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hi, welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I am Alyssa Bormis. I'm going to be your guest host for the day, and I'm so grateful to be here. If you don't know me, I teach at the Chesterton Academy. I am the sometimes filling guest host here on the Rediscover Hour, which is a blast. And I've written the book, The Catechism of Hockey. You might have seen other writings of mine in The Catholic Spirit or The Wine Blog, Women in the New Evangelization, which I just have to tell you, we're going to have, that's a little preview too. We're going to have someone talking about Women in the New Evangelization and an event that's coming up. But we have a very full hour today. I wanted to mention one thing in particular. Every now and then we lose someone that just has made a big impact on our lives. And I just wanted to say Godspeed to Father James Stromberg. He died on Monday, and he was such an influence in my life, a beautiful confessor, beautiful priest, 60 years in the priesthood. His funeral is this Saturday at Holy Family Catholic Church. But what an amazing priest. And that, oddly enough, will bring me right into my first guest because of the need for the priesthood. The need for beautiful priests like Father Stromberg, and may they all have 60 beautiful years of service. So my first guest is Father David Bloom. He is the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Father, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here, Alyssa.
I'm super glad to have you. I was just sitting a couple days ago where the poster with all the seminarians was right in front of me. And I had 5-10 minutes to sit and sort of ponder all those faces. But you're on there as well. And there's a spot waiting for the next young man to come. Tell me, what do you do as the Director of Religious Vocations?
Sure. Well, you know, in our office, we do a whole number of things. We have a number of events that we do to promote vocations to the priesthood and religious life. We also, of course, are working with primarily young men as they go through the application process to enter the seminary. Now, that's a pretty involved process. You know, I was visiting with a priest who is in his mid-80s, and I said, what was the process when you came into the seminary? And he said, well, my pastor wrote a letter saying that I was a good man, and I went into the seminary. Well, it's very different today.
Right.
There's a lot of scrutiny. There's a lot of very good and careful discernment that goes on in the process. And so we're working with men through that process. It generally takes several months. And so that's a very big part of the work that we do.
Fantastic. And one of the things, you're not the only person responsible in the Archdiocese for sort of getting men to you. It's all of us.
That's right. It's the whole church calling forth vocations.
Right. What advice do you have just for the regular person in the pew of when they see a young man or even a young woman then for the religious life? What should we do?
Well, if you know them personally, or maybe if you don't know them, having a relationship and knowing someone, it certainly makes it a lot easier to go up there and to approach them and to say, have you ever thought about being a priest?
Right.
And it's really that simple.
Yeah.
I do that frequently, actually. And sometimes guys are surprised.
Right.
You think I'd be a good priest?
Wow.
Yes, I think you would. It is an amazing question because now it has somebody thinking about, you know, is this what God wants?
Right.
Now, of course, we don't do that indiscriminately. We do that very carefully and with prayer. I'd also encourage everyone in the pews to be praying for an increase in vocations and to pray that the Lord raises them up. And the Lord will surprise us.
Yes.
The Lord will surprise us.
I don't know why Father Walter Chizik just comes into my mind, but he's of happy memory, and hopefully his cause will be open or furthered. He was a ruffian as a kid and became a great priest, and hopefully, God willing, one day proclaimed a saint.
That's right.
And that you just never know who it's going to be.
No, you don't. And that really is... That's not reserved for us. That's up
right.
That's up to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Wow. So. And the Holy Spirit is doing some marvelous work, but we have to be the conduit.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's not uncommon. You know, I get an email or I get a phone call, and it's someone I've never met. I don't know anything about them. And all of a sudden, here they are. They're coming in for an appointment. And I'm starting to get to know them, and I realize the Lord has been working in their heart for many years.
Fantastic.
And, you know, to bring them to this point.
It's great. Well, Father, I know you have an event coming up, the Quo Vadis Camp. I'd love to talk about it, but maybe what we could do is come back after the break and talk about the Quo Vadis Camp that's coming.
Wonderful.
We'll be right back on the Rediscover Hour.
When you take care of your car will take care of you. Now through July 9th, get $60 by mail on a Firestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of four eligible Firestone tires. A claim form is required. The Visa prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank, member FDIC. Certain terms and limitations apply. Take care of your car with Firestone tires. Available today at Westside Tire. 763-420-2100.
This season, we all drive a little more, and you can count on the champions of service at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes for your car, truck, SUV, and crossover. Come to Westside Tire for safe driving all summer long. Tires for every vehicle are available today at Westside Tire, just west of 494 off Highway 55 in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host today, Alyssa Bormas, and we've been talking with Father David Bloom. He's the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And Father, I know you have an event coming up, the Quo Vadis Camp.
That's right.
First of all, what is Quo Vadis?
Sure. Well, Quo Vadis means, where are you going? Mm. And, you know, it's frequently associated with the story of St. Peter. Maybe you've heard this story that the sacred story of St. Peter fleeing Rome during the time of the persecution. And he's fleeing Rome, and he encounters Jesus. And Jesus is carrying his cross, and he's heading the other direction towards Rome. And Peter looks at him and says, Quo Vadis, where are you going? And he says, I'm going into Rome to suffer and die because you won't. And at that point, the Lord disappears. Peter turns around and goes into Rome and suffers and dies. He is martyred and, of course, becomes a saint for the church.
And this place, there is the place in Rome where you can walk the Appia Antica, is that it?
Yes, I believe it's the Via Appia Antica.
And that you can see that spot.
I have not actually been there, but that is what I understand.
It's fantastic. I walked that way once on the Seven Church Walk, and we got to stop there. But this idea of this encounter with Christ when we're walking away from what we ought to do, and that he invites us back.
That's right.
And so what does this camp, with this encounter with Christ, what does the camp do?
Okay. So what we're doing here is we're really going to challenge young people to say, where are you going? Mm. You know, a lot of times as we're growing up, we just kind of make certain assumptions about our future. But are those assumptions really rooted in Christ? Is it something that we prayed about? Is it something that the Lord might have another plan? And so what we want to do is just encourage our young people, those who attend, to be completely open to whatever it is that God desires for their life. And so we're going to start, our event starts on Sunday evening. We have two different camps, one for boys and one for girls. But both of them start on Sunday evening. We're going to start with Mass at 5 p.m. And then it goes through Wednesday at 1 p.m. And it's $100 to cover some of the costs of the camp. And as I said, we have two sessions. And the boys' camp is going to be July 9th to the 12th. We're going to have seminarians and priests helping out, giving talks, and we're going to have a couple of field trips, one to the cathedral and then another to the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. The girls' Quo Vadis camp is going to be July 16th to the 19th, 1 week later. And we're very blessed to have the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus running that. And then they'll be supported by a number of female chaperones. And some of them are actually discerning their vocation. And so so there's times of prayer, daily Mass, recreation, and lots of food. You got to have that.
You got to have food. Every retreat should have lots of food.
That's right.
What age groups is this for? For teenagers, sure. Or what age group?
Right. This is for ages 12 to 17. And so we'll probably have some small group discussions, you know, in ages 12, 13, and 14. Then we'll have the older 15, 16, 17 together as for discussion groups when we do that. There's going to be a real emphasis on sacrificial love. Mm. And we'll point to the example of numerous saints and how they, you know, gave all for Christ. Mm-hmm. And so now this event is, I think I said ages 12 to 17. And this actually replaces another event that we did in past years. We did what was called Vocations Day in August. That will not happen. So
this is the thing that we want to get our kids to.
That's right. And
I love the idea of this, where are you going? This question for our youth, where are you going? Because the world is trying to answer that for them.
It sure is. And there's no question about that.
And that somehow we easily listen to the world. You know, sure, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. They must be right.
Yes.
And then this sort of interruption, where are you going? The quota bodies, where are you going? And to ask them themselves, what have you seen when you ask youth this question in a way different than what their parents are able to do, maybe, and just a new voice asking, where are you going?
Sure. Well, I think it's something that, you know, it's hard to see any immediate result,
right.
But you plant a seed.
Right.
And it's watered. We allow the Lord to water it.
Yeah.
And see what happens. What does the Lord do with that? But the goal, of course, is intentional discernment, not simply assuming that, you know, this is what I'm going to do with my life.
Yeah.
Our life is to be lived for Christ and a building of the church. And so, you know, we want to walk closely with the Lord in all of that. And so I think it's going to be a wonderful time. This is the first time that we've done this, and I think we're going to walk before we run.
Right.
And so we're starting with a smaller number. Next year we'll increase, God willing, and we'll increase a little more the next year. And so I think it'll be a very exciting time.
How will, if I'm a parent and I want to sign up my child, how do I do that?
Sure. You can go to our website, which is 10,000vocations.org. Mm. www.10,000vocations.org. And we have a registration form right on there, electronic registration form that you can fill out.
Perfect. That's easy. And are you looking, when I'm a parent trying to discern whether or not this is for my child,
mm-hmm.
What questions as a parent should I be asking about why is my kid the right kid to send? What are you looking for?
I'm just trying to think as a parent and thinking, you know, how can I get him out of the house? how can I get him,
perfect, just 4 days away.
Yeah, right. Just how can I take a break? But, you know, first off, you know, if a young person is going kicking and screaming, that's probably not the primary candidate.
Right.
But hopefully there's something in the heart that has some interest in what we're doing. And it's a brief experience. It's not an entire week.
Right.
And so I think it's this young person who, ideally, it's this young person who's been thinking along these lines already and is open to whatever God wants.
Is it specifically for... I'm thinking of the religious life, or are you also helping to discern what would the married life look like, or where sure. What is God calling me to?
Sure. Well, we are emphasizing the saints, and most of them who have served the church as priests, brothers, deacons.
Right.
So that's really more of the emphasis. Okay.
And don't you think, even if your child does think, I never want to be a priest or a sister, right? We've heard teenagers say that before. I never want to do that. But there's something even about being exposed to that question that helps them, even if they are called to the married life.
Absolutely. And I totally agree. And I think intentional discernment is so important. And I think that's what we have to be encouraging our young people to do, to intentionally discern. And if I could, I would like to just lift up one other thing that we're doing at the Office of Vocations. In August 15th, in fact, I'm going to be offering Mass at the St. John Vianney Seminary at 6:30 p.m. for men who are considering entering the college seminary in the fall of 2018, not this fall,
right,
but in the fall of 2018. And we've got a number of guys who are thinking along those lines. So I'm inviting them to come and to put all of that before the Lord as we offer Mass, and to ask for the Mother of God, ask for her intercession. And then we're going to, after that, we'll have a tour. We'll have food. You got to have food.
Got to have food.
And then what we're going to do is walk through the application process for those who are more serious.
Right.
Parents are welcome to attend as well. And, you know, we're going to have them looking around the space and just getting familiar with what the seminary looks like. And so that'll be August 15th, the Solemnity of the Assumption of Mary. And that'll be at St. John Vianney Seminary. Again, we actually would like people to go to the website and to sign up for that.
10,000vocations.org.
That's right.
Fantastic. And this call to the priesthood, just in your own priesthood, what has been, were you resistant to the call maybe at first, or were you all in? And then what's been one of the great joys?
You know, I think what I really needed, someone to ask this very question
right.
to me years ago and to say, where are you going?
Right.
I had a plan. I had an idea. And God had another plan. And I was not as open as I wish I could have been.
Right.
You know, now there's probably all kinds of reasons for that. But the Lord has a way of gently drawing us closer to the path that He wants us on. And so... and I'm very grateful that the Lord didn't give up. And so
we're grateful too.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Is there a part of your priesthood that has brought you so much joy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's what keeps me going is conversion.
Mm.
Seeing people's hearts converted to Christ keeps me going. Even on the toughest days, you know, if you're in the confessional and you sense there is a profound work of the Holy Spirit going on in the life of this person, there's a conversion happening, that inspires and that keeps me going. And so, and of course, conversion takes place all the time in many ways, and we don't always get to see it.
Right.
But when I do see it, when I understand that what you know, something that the Lord is doing and something profound in someone's life, that inspires.
Going back to the Quo Vadis camp, or the just this idea of Quo Vadis, Has anyone ever come back to you where you didn't see it in the moment and they came back to you later and said you were that encounter with Christ for them? You were a part of that?
Yes. You know, there. I think every priest has that experience. And the thing is, as a priest, you're busy, you're doing a lot of things, and you don't always get to just stop and think deeply about what just happened.
Right.
But people do come back, and they talk about, you were there at the hospital. Uh-huh. You were there at this moment of great need, and we will never forget the fact that you were there. And, you know, I was at St. Patrick in Oak Grove for 9 years as pastor. And when I left, it was amazing, you know, the cards and all the memories of 9 years coming together and seeing things that I had totally forgotten. But the faithful don't forget.
Right.
You know, they remember the beautiful things that the Lord does through the priest.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always so grateful. The priesthood brought me home. I was away from the church for 17 years, and the priesthood brought me home. And I'll never forget. And the number of priests and how they keep bringing me home through confession and so on. Well, Father, what a great thing to talk to you again. At the Quo Vadis camp, I've been speaking with Father David Bloom. He is the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. And again, if you want to sign up for the Quo Vadis camp, it's 10,000vocations.org. And there's a sign up for that. And then also the sign up for the young men interested in the priesthood are going to the seminary in 2018.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us here today, Father.
It's been wonderful to be with you.
I love it. That's great. I'm so glad that we were able to speak with Father. And I hope you do send your children to the Quo Vadis camp. And this idea of the encounter with Christ and where are you going? We are just going to jump right into our next guest. It's Father Marty Gleason, another great priest. He is a Dominican, and I think we're waking him up. I think he's in Seattle, Washington, so he's a little bit early there. Father, are you with us?
I am with you and happy to be with you. Thankfully, I am an early riser.
Ah, fantastic.
Doing a little retreat out here in Seattle at the Prince of Peace Newman Center. So, good morning.
Fantastic. Good morning. So, you're a Dominican. OP is the initials of your name, Order of Preachers. I love that. And we'll talk about that.
A lot of people call that Old Padres, but that's not always the case.
That's really good. I'm gonna use that with a favorite Dominican of mine. You serve as the spiritual director and assistant to director of Lord Teach Me to Pray, and it's a series that's been approved by the Publishing Office of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and so tell us about this whole retreat. And the Teach Me to Pray, I think that's one of the things that people are often saying, I don't know how to pray.
Yes, and there's a very great thirst for this, too. People want this. They want this relationship with the Lord. So Lord Teach Me to Pray is an Ignatian prayer series. And, of course, you know, people will say, you're Dominican. How did you get into this? But that's a separate story. But it's the most wonderful, transforming, beautiful way to pray. And it's started as a small prayer series in New Orleans, which is where I live and where my priory is, by a lay couple, Carol Weiler and John Weiler. Carol had been praying Ignatian prayer for maybe 20 years at that point. And there's a whole story to that, too. But just to get to where we are, the series began to spread, and we go out to different parts of the country now. And we train facilitators how to go back to their pastor, ask if they can just get a little space one night a week and start this prayer journey. Maybe put an announcement in their bulletin, get the people interested, and then draw them into this Ignatian way of prayer. And then people take off on this. It's, you know, I would say in some way, shape, or form, people pray. There's something within us that draws us, you know. But how do we pray, you know? And this is a way of praying, this Ignatian way of prayer. We pray with the living Word of God. And as we move through that into the exercises, that, you know, we begin praying with the, as we would call, the living exercises as well. But the beauty of this prayer is that it is the journey of a soul. It is the way to not just come to know about Jesus or know about our faith, know about God, know about the church. No, it's a way to actually come to know Him. You know, we want this. We want this intimate relationship. And so we are going to be coming to St. Paul, Minneapolis, for the first time.
I have here,
at the Carondelet Center. Yeah.
July 8th at the Carondelet Center from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And so you're this prayer technique, not only is it teaching you how to pray and beginning this relationship with Christ, or deeper relationship, I should say. But I love here, it says in my notes that it's inner healing and a deliverance ministry. The inner healing, I always say that there's a fail-safe way to tell if someone is wounded, and that is if you're breathing, you're wounded. And that we all have wounds in us, and that we want to get at those wounds to be healed. And how does prayer do that?
Well, that's really a good, important question, because I do think nowadays the focus gets too much on the wound itself, whereas the prayer focuses on Christ Himself. You know, today we're celebrating the solemnities of the Sacred Heart, you know, and to realize that it is in and through Christ. He is the answer, you know, so when we all come, as you say, wounded, one of the most beautiful things about this way of prayer is as we get deep into this prayer, as the Spirit moves us into these encounters with Christ on this journey, really a journey with Christ through His life, then we actually begin to find healing, not so much by focusing on our wounds, but by focusing on Him. And this is how this starts to work. And it is this very love of Christ that we are invited into, and that, in fact, one of the things that the Ignatian prayer does is it's supposed to do, it's supposed to bring us to those places, woundedness, sinfulness, other things that are obstacles on the journey, obstacles that are keeping us from getting, from going deeper in that relationship and healing them, you know, freeing us from them, delivering us from them, whatever it is. Prayer is the answer. It really is.
It is so powerful. And I love this idea that you said we're not going to focus on our own wounds. We're going to focus on Christ, His life, what He's doing. And I think that's one of the things about woundedness that is sort of the big secret that no one tells you, is that if you're wounded, go help somebody else. Move beyond yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, in our culture, it seems to be a tremendous amount of time, effort, trying to eliminate avoid suffering.
Yeah.
And yet, in following Christ, there's a beauty and a holiness that, we have a whole theology of the richness of suffering. Nobody likes to suffer, there's no doubt, but Christ Himself suffered, and He told us we would suffer, but all for what? For a tremendous purpose. It's all to reach our end, you know, the end for which we've been created, really to know, love, and serve our God, you know, and spend eternity with Him. And but prayer is, I just would say it again, I can't say it too many times, prayer is the answer. Prayer is the way.
And when people tell you, I just don't know how to pray, obviously you're telling them, well, come to one of these retreats, but even at the retreat, or maybe even after the retreat, that I've been there, and I think, how do I get all the way in? You were talking about the Ignatian prayer techniques. What are those techniques? How do we do it?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's not really a technique. It really is a journey.
A journey.
And so what we do is, at these training retreats, we ask people to come, even if they're not interested in like starting groups or facilitating groups, if they're just interested in finding out more. It's a beautiful day of prayer and retreat. And the idea is that on this when they come, they're going to they're going to receive free. I mean, the only thing that's going to cost is what it costs for the Carondelet Center, but we give everything else away. We don't charge for anything, and we give everything away. And they'll receive at the end, through the day, a scripted manual, and it will tell them, show them exactly what to do. You see, St. Ignatius, we refer to him often as the how-to-pray saint.
Yes.
Many saints have had these great journeys, and they've written about them. Phenomenal, you know. But St. Ignatius, he was a military man. He had some order. And so what we do, particularly in this part one training, praying Christian virtues, where they pray with a virtue, with the scriptures related to it every day, 15 minutes a day. This is what we show them how to do. There's a little step-by-step thing on how to do this. How do you journal? And then once a week for 12 weeks, they come back into the group, and they just start sharing what happened during my time of prayer. And so, really, the way to learn to pray with a little bit of direction like this, it's a matter of doing it. You know, it's a matter of showing right. up. You know, God is waiting there for us. And if we can, and what this Ignatian way of prayer does, it really helps us kind of move out of the head where we all like to stay into the heart. This is not a Bible study. This is all prayer. From the very first session, every person goes home with six scriptures. And that will correlate with the virtue that we're praying with that week, and a little direction on how to get into the prayer for 15 minutes and to actually pray with the heart. And Ignatius wants us more and more as we go on to try to get in touch with what we're feeling when we're praying. In other words, when God is speaking to me, what am I feeling? Yes. Am I resisting? Am I joyful? What is going on? Because even though we don't make decisions on feelings, feelings are, in fact, a barometer of the relationship. Just like in a human relationship, someone comes in the room and says, "Oh, honey, I'm home." What does the spouse do? Does the spouse run to the spouse and happily, or cringe and say, "Oh, no," you know?
Right.
So the feelings will tell us something, yeah. But that's what this prayer is. You have to dive into it. Anyone listening, we're not asking you to commit to facilitate groups, really. We'd like that, and the Lord, I'm sure, would like that. But just come. It's like $25 to be there and for lunch. But our presence there, the retreat itself, and the materials, it's all free. It's a divine providence thing.
Absolutely. How is this a part of the new evangelization? We always talk about that. So how is this a part of it?
Right, right. Well, you know, that's good. How do we do that? How do we respond to the Lord's great commission? You know, go out to all the world, right, and tell the good news. People are drawn into this prayer, first of all, because we want this relationship ourselves, right? But it doesn't take much, and it doesn't take long. What gets stirred up within us is this desire to bring this to others. That's exactly how Lord Teach Me to Pray started with Carol and John Wyler. And so this is a very, very easy way to evangelize, because all we have to do is we have to invite people into this group, this little group. And just like John the Baptist did, once he got people close to Jesus, then he did what? He decreased, right?
Yes.
As Jesus increased. And this really does happen, because in Ignatian prayer, the Holy Spirit really is the director, the Lord is the teacher, and as facilitators, we always are prayers first. See, I facilitate groups as well, see, and we pray first, we're prayers, and then we take on this little role as facilitator, but it basically, we stay out of the way and we sort of protect the space so that the Holy Spirit can work with each individual person. And if we really stay out of it, so to speak, and any good Jesuit will tell you this, you stay out of it. You stay out of the way of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, of course, dwells in each one through their baptism. That Holy Spirit will take that person, and you'll see people begin to really soar on this beautiful journey from God back to God.
Well, prayer is certainly something that we desperately need in these days. So let me tell you again, it's July 8th. It's at the Carondelet Center in St. Paul. from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the retreat is called Lord, Teach Me to Pray. I've been speaking with Father Marty Gleason, a Dominican. And will you be there, Father, to lead the retreat?
Oh, yes. I will be there, and Carol and John Weiler will be there.
Great.
And we're it. We don't have a big organization. We're all around the country, but we don't. But so if people want to know a little more or actually to register, if they would go very simply, LordTeachMeToPray.com, and just click on Facilitator Training Retreat, scroll down and you'll find the flyer. And there's a phone number you can call. And just we just need to know, really, so we have enough materials so
right.
to send them up from New Orleans, you know.
That sounds
great. We're
going
to be there, absolutely. And it'll be a beautiful day. Even if you're sitting there saying, I don't really know if I'd be interested, come and find out.
There's nothing wrong with finding out more about prayer, for sure.
You got it.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Father.
Oh, it's my joy, my pleasure. So have a beautiful day.
God bless you. All right. Well, you've been listening to the Rediscover Hour. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with you.
Rediscover. Here from Dr. Douglas Howard.
After 20 years and tens of thousands of success stories, Balance of Nature is still the only pure whole food supplement available. Balance of Nature has served more than 500 million servings of fruits and vegetables. Don't accept imitations, copies, or substitutions. Our success stories are unique to Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. You'll know you have the real thing when you open the bottles and see, smell, and taste real produce.
It is worth every penny I pay because they really have made such a difference in my life. It is making me feel a whole lot better.
Even my doctor thought it was a good product.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get 2 free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you for free. Call now for details.
Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code RELEVANT.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your host, Alyssa Bormis, or guest host, I should say. I'm really grateful to be here today. And we have a day jam-packed. And the next person we're going to speak to is going to be speaking here in the Twin Cities in just a few days at the Wine, Women, and the New Evangelization at a Women, Wine, and Wisdom. So I'd like to welcome Callie Schneider.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Great. I'm great. I'm going to see you on Tuesday.
Oh, wonderful. I look forward to meeting you and your friends.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I'll bring friends along as well. You have a great background. It's so deep and varied and beautiful.
Thank you.
Let me just first say that you're going to be here Tuesday night. You'll be the keynote speaker at the Women, Wine, and Wisdom event, and it'll be Truffles from Heaven, The Sweet Taste of Grace. That is a fantastic title.
Thank you.
What is it about?
Well, don't we all long to know for sure that God is aware of us as individuals, not just us as people and Catholics, but as individual persons? And so a truffle from heaven, the same way that you would give a gift to somebody that you loved, and often as women it might be chocolate, right?
Right.
So this is a gift from the lover of our soul. And he places these gifts, these evidences of his love, into the palm of our lives when we least expect it. And he's tucked a message inside. And the work of our lives is to get the message.
Mm. I want to... it's fantastic what you've just said. I want to go back because this idea of getting the message from him, your life, if we go back to who you are and what brought you to this place, you... Here's one of the best things I love, because I always wanted to be this. You were crowned Miss Missouri. I wanted to be Miss South Dakota, but anyway. And Miss Missouri World. And so you had this life that, in a certain sense, everybody would have wanted, right? And then you were married. You wrote this book, Confessions of a Formerly, quote-unquote, Wicked Stepmother. But you had a lot of tragedy in your life as well. And that tragedy actually led you home to the church. Can you just explain this whole whirlwind of a journey?
Indeed. Well, it's like all of our journeys, really. And Forrest Gump's mom was right when she said that our life is like a box of chocolate.
Yeah.
There's going to be sweet chocolate, dark chocolate, and sometimes there'll be the day when all the chocolate has melted. And it's on those dark chocolate days that it's not as easy to see the hand of God unless you're really looking and know what you're looking for. And when the chocolate seemed to all be melted, that's when we face the temptation and have doubts as to whether we're really in this alone, whether really God is aware of us as individuals. And so that's really the kernel behind all of my writings and my retreats and my speaking, is to help people to see that they're not alone. That's the key message, and to see specifically and give specific concrete examples that they can relate to in their own dark chocolate days of God's evidence, actual evidence of His presence and His reaching out with these little gifts of grace.
Is that what the little gifts of grace? Is that what the truffle from heaven is?
Yes, it's a little gift of grace that no matter what the trial is, if we know that God is in it with us, and that we're not struggling alone, that He's aware of the situation, that He is working it together for our good, it can enable us to feel the power in that. And that's what helps us to become stronger as a result of the dark chocolate, which is the point in the first place. We're to become stronger and better from our tragedies and disappointments, rather than to let them beat us down and make us less than we were intended to be in His image and for His glory.
Were you ever just ready to give up on God? You just an idea of what you lost. You lost jobs, your parents, a marriage, your only child. You lost all these things that, in a certain sense, isn't that the time that you could just give up on God? And why didn't you?
Well, I'm grateful to say that there was never a time that I didn't believe in God, but there certainly has been a time in my life when I thought He no longer believed in me.
Oh.
And that's really the most dangerous time, is when you think God no longer believes in you, thinking there is no way back to Him for mistakes you may have made. And so that's part of what my message is to people, is that there is no such place in your life for that kind of despair. And so it was out of despair that He reached His hand into that dark place and placed that first most important truffle into my palm that let me know He was there, and that He had not, that I was not alone, that He had not stopped believing in me, and that He wanted me to double down on my belief in Him.
That's fantastic. And that, just that little truffle, what I love is that, you know, a truffle isn't a big thing. It's just a one bite, maybe two bites if you're more disciplined than I. but it's just a quick little thing. But that could bring you home.
And that's exactly what it's meant to be. You know, the title "Truffle from Heaven." When I wrote the book, if you're not self-publishing, the royalty publisher has the authority over the title. They will tell you what the title is going to be or reject the title that you want, and that's what happened to me. And so in the process of trying to come up with the title, he said, well, what are you really trying to say in this book? And I said, well, let me put it this way. When I go to bed at night, if the evening news is the last thing that goes into my subconscious, why would I want to get up the next day?
Right.
What I want to tell people is to put some sweet little morsel. It can't be a piece of big chocolate cake right before going to sleep, but just a tiny little taste of something sweet, something holy, something from God, reading a passage of Scripture, saying a rosary, doing some little thing to make sure that the last thing of your conscious thought is on the sweetness, the sweet taste of His grace.
I think that's such great advice. And even the idea of, we get so caught up in the news and the 24-hour news cycle, and that we hear things over and over, and I always think they push down on our shoulders. And that sweet taste of God is the last thing, maybe the first thing as well in the morning.
Well, that's so well said, because, you know, if you were kidding about the eating the chocolate truffle,
yeah.
and if you do eat, you know, if you eat too many of those, they'll put the weight on your hips.
Yeah,
that's the entire
right.
point of the truffle from heaven is to take the weight off of
Amen.
Your shoulders.
Oh, that's good. I need to go on a retreat right now. That's fantastic.
I do lead retreats, and I have 5 hours of content, so I would love to do one for you sometime.
That would be great. Now, what sort of women would be interested in coming to hear you speak this Tuesday?
Well, it could be a variety of women. I have spoken to everything from teenagers to great-grandmas, and I have had three generations at a single table during retreats in the past. So it can be really anybody who wants to draw nearer to God, to deepen their personal relationship with Christ, and to see Him active and at work in their lives on a daily basis, in our everyday lives. Whether they're coming because they are in despair and they're looking for hope, encouragement, and inspiration, or whether they're just coming to learn how to laugh again after a difficulty, or just because they want to laugh, period. There's a lot of humor in my talks, and also I've been told a lot of inspiration and certainly encouragement.
I love the idea too. Come as you are, whether you're full of the, you know, sorrow, or maybe you're just everything's fine, or maybe you're full of joy. Just come as you are.
Exactly. Isn't that the way He takes us? He takes us where we are, and He moves us to where He wants us to be. And that's what this is meant to do, is to help the process, that moving process, nearer to Him and towards the joy He wants us all to have.
Oh, that's great. And the although this night that you're coming to speak to us is for women, but your book, The Truffles from Heaven. Did I say it right? Truffles from Heaven, The Sweet Taste of Grace.
Yes.
Is your book for men as well?
Well, you know, it's one of those wonderful unintended blessings. Is, of course, a book written by a woman for women. It was really written as a gift book to give to somebody that might be in a difficult situation, that has faced a similar loss, a divorce, lost a job, has lost a parent, a spouse, a pet, whatever, and is just longing for that little special touch of love. And so many men were buying them for their wives as gifts. And the wife would have it on the bedside table, and she would be laughing, or she might be crying, and he would be, I've been told, have become intrigued by this, and men start to read it themselves, and I think they find the grace that's there for anyone to have.
I love that you have humor, and humor must have been a gift that you've had it your whole life, this sense of humor?
Pretty much, yes, but there were certainly during darker times, I wasn't able to access it during the dark times. Now He's teaching me how to access it in the moment, because laughter is healing medicine. The scripture says so in those specific words. Laughter will do the heart good like a medicine. And He means that. It is an actual healing balm that He places on the heart. But when we have experienced a tragedy, sometimes we think it's inappropriate to laugh.
Yeah.
It's the most appropriate time. The most appropriate time to allow natural laughter to come to you rather than to stiff arm it and fend it off, thinking that it's not not the right thing to be doing. If He's giving it to you, He's using it for your healing.
Well, I even think of someone losing a family member or friend, that you enjoyed the laughter and the memories of them. Remember that time when, and how healing that can be.
And that, yes, don't we, when we all gather around as a family and we're all heartbroken when we've lost a loved one, and certainly many tears are shed, but in the midst of the tears, someone will say something that reminds us of the person, some little memory or some little sweet statement that causes that momentary break in the pain. And that is the healing moment. That's the beginning of the healing. And so if we walk towards that rather than away from it, the healing comes much quicker.
I love this. It was written about your book in my notes. The book has the flavor of chicken soup with Irma Bombeck dessert and a sweet spiritual aftertaste that lingers on the lips. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. That I do like that notion from a reader, and I hope it will linger. That's
yes.
The point. You know, sometimes you will go hear a speaker, and in the moment you think, "Oh, that was good." What I try hopefully to do is to awaken in the person their natural desire to hear from the Holy Spirit, and that once I'm gone, long gone and forgotten, whatever the Spirit says to them in my message, that is their truffle.
Fantastic. Well, we are just heading to the end of our time here, but I've been speaking with Callie Schneider. She'll be in town in the cities on Tuesday night, the 27th of June, with Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. Her talk is Truffles from Heaven, The Sweet Taste of Grace. I'm guessing you'll have your book there as well.
Indeed, I will. In fact, I think they're giving three away as door prizes, so you could be the lucky one.
I hope I win. Thank
well,
you
I'll
so much for
to
joining.
Meeting you yes. and your friends and sharing the sweet taste of grace.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you. Well, we are just about ready to wind up our Rediscover Hour, but first we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with you.
Hi, it's Rob with Grove Builders, your local roofing and siding company. Well, it's that time of year again. Now it's time to start thinking about your roofing and siding needs. Whether it's a facelift or if your current roof is at the tail end of its life, we can help. The first signs of your roof needing replacement is curling or cracking of the shingles, or the more obvious is the loss of shingles. Protect your home and belongings and let us give you a free roofing or siding estimate. Give us a call at 763-229-0923. Let us get up on your roof and give you a free and honest opinion of your home's exterior. This is what we do, and we know what to look for to ensure your home is going to hold up to the harsh winters for years to come. Our phone number is 763-229-0923. Or look us up at www.grove-builders.com. Grove Builders, your local roofing and siding company. 763-229-0923.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host, Alyssa Bormis. I'm here with Paul Sadek, and we're going to tell you what's happening around the Archdiocese.
All kinds of things. Be part of the new evangelization in our Archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join the mission by sending the text message, PROCLAIMING, to 84576, or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
You are invited to the 2017 Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday on June 25th, hosted by the Byron and Judy Dahlheimer Family Farm in Center City, Minnesota. Mass will be with Archbishop Hebda and will be celebrated at 2 p.m. with a country meal following. There'll be live music, dancing, kids' activities, and games. A free will offering is gratefully accepted. Some seating will be provided, but please bring your own lawn chairs. For more information, visit the events page at the Archdiocesan archsbm.org.
On Monday, June 26th, you're invited to the Feast Day Mass of St. Jose Maria Escriva. It'll be at the Cathedral of St. Paul at 5:15 p.m. Archbishop Bernard Hebda will be the main celebrant. Confessions will be available from 4 p.m. on.
This summer, bring your grandchildren on a faith and freedom pilgrimage to the majestic Cathedral of St. Paul. On Tuesday, June 27th, between 1 and 3 p.m., you're invited to bring your grandchildren to experience an up-close view of the sanctuary, altar, archbishop's chair, chapels, and shrines. Learn about the Mass with a brief tutorial by Father John Paul Erickson and participate in Eucharistic adoration and benediction. A free will offering will be accepted. For more information to register, please visit the events page on CatholicGrandparenting.com.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Summer 2017 Theology on Tap series. Join in mixing good beer with better knowledge Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul, Wednesday, June 28th. Hear Nikki Wood Weinhagen, who will speak on an unexpected miracle. Social hour from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Nikki begins at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Are you looking to rediscover your Catholic faith, or do you know someone who is thinking about becoming Catholic? Join the Cathedral of St. Paul for Introducing Catholicism, an informal introduction to the breadth and depth of the Catholic faith through Bishop Robert Barron's Acclaiming Catholicism series. The series started on Wednesday, June 21st and runs through August 30th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Each week, we'll view an episode featuring a different aspect of the Catholic faith and have a brief discussion afterwards. No registration or previous participation is necessary. Just come. For more information, please visit thecathedralofstpaul.org or call Patrick Conley at 651-357-1340.
And what do you have coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
We have Liz Kelly. She teaches at the Catholic Studies program in University of St. Thomas, and she'll be here to share her new book, upcoming, the Bible study, Jesus Approaches, What Today's Women Can Learn About Healing. And also, we'll hear from the president of the Catholic School Center of Excellence, Gail Dorn, will speak with us about what's happening in Catholic education.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.